Worried about duplicate payments? You've got plenty of company. Everyone should be worried about them. Stick around while we share a few tips on how to avoid making these costly and often repeatable mistakes that lead to duplicate payments, which, as you know, are rarely returned.
Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function.
Welcome. I'm Mary Schaefer, founder of AP Now, the place you go for all the latest business intelligence you need if you work in, manage, or have responsibility for the accounts payable function. Today, we're going to talk about the scourge, and I really do mean scourge, of duplicate payments. I want to start off by smashing that myth that vendors will return duplicate payments. Here's the secret. Most of them don't. Now, a few will issue credits, and then there's issues with credits as to whether your people find them, they take them, etc. But many of them don't. They quietly put the money in their pockets and never say a word about them. And then there are a few who pull this little nasty trick that happened at one company where I worked. The vendor got the duplicate payment and came in to see the chief operating officer. I don't remember exactly for what, but whatever. And he brought that check, that second check that we had sent, and he threw it on the officer's desk. And he said to him, glad to see you doing so well. Glad to see you can afford to pay us twice. Okay, as you can imagine, what happened after the guy left was not pretty. Now, I want to start off by mentioning that if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll notice a lot of information cards popping up to the right because we've got a lot of additional videos on the individual methods that I'm going to mention. So I just want to mention that. And if you want information about a particular technique and that information card shows up out there, you can just click on it. Now, everyone has three opportunities to prevent, detect, and recover duplicate payments. But you've got to take action to do these. So let's start. I call it the before, the during, and the after. That's my way of breaking these things down. So let's start off with the before. What can you do before you get that invoice and you process it? Well, it's some very simple stuff, okay? You want to incorporate best practices, make sure you have strong internal controls in your processes for handling invoices and making payments. And those processes should include strong internal controls and not limited to, but including separation of duties. You also want to minimize or eliminate as many weak practices as you can. Let me give you an idea about some of those weak practices. Returning checks to the person who placed the order, the requisitioner, as I like to call them. Petty cash boxes. All of these are opportunities, if you will, for a duplicate payment. Now, before I talk about what you can do during the invoice processing, I want to share that if you want tips and insights on a more efficient accounts payable function, I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the channel that you're listening. And if you're watching on YouTube, please ring the bell that's down next to your subscribe button so you'll be alerted whenever we post new episodes, which are 2 or 3 times a week in general. Okay, let's talk about during. What can you do during the processing of an invoice to ensure that you don't pay it twice, or at least help minimize the chances of not paying it twice? So I want to share with you a little story. I was at a conference, this was a few years ago, and I was talking to a guy who was an AP director of a huge company. And the reason I make such a big deal about it was a huge company, because when you see the numbers that I'm going to talk about, you're going to say, what? That wasn't an issue for them. And he told me, he shared with me that they just had a duplicate payment audit done. And his company, the last time they'd had an audit done, which I think was 2 years prior, the audit firm found $2 million. This current audit, they found $57,000. So $2 million might not be a lot of money to a $1 billion company. And if $2 million wasn't a lot, $57,000 was really not much. So I was all ears, if you will. And I said, oh, what did you do? And he said, oh, you know, all that stuff you talk about. And what he meant was using things like rigid coding standards, making sure that when invoices are processed, that the standards that are used are rigid and you've spelled it out and you've given it to your processes so they all know exactly how you want the data entered. I like to say when it comes to data entry and accounts payable, creativity is not desired, not a desirable function, if you will. Limiting the payment types for each vendor also will help. So then you don't have to worry. You made one payment with a check, let's say, and another one with a credit card. You also don't want to allow the payment of invoices either on expense reports or through the petty cash box. Some companies will take it one step further. And when they have what they consider a large payment, and of course, what is large is going to depend upon your individual company. Obviously, a large payment at Apple is different than a large payment at the corner stationery store. So whatever is large, you want to double check those items to make sure that they've not already been paid. I also like to tell people that they should, if they've got rush checks or items that were paid off a check request form because the invoice was lost, that they might want to put them in a folder and then go back and research 2-3 weeks later, a month later, to make sure that that invoice did not show up and get paid. Also, you probably want to have some special processes and procedures in place for payments that are made through wire transfers, because that's a whole nother issue. And also, if you are having payments made outside AP, you want to have some processes in place to make sure that those folks are using the same strong practices and controls that you use in accounts payable. We see at a number of companies will have ACH payments made outside AP, maybe in treasury, maybe elsewhere in accounting. I want to say that that happens at about 20% of the companies. And as more companies are increasing the number of ACH payments, there's also a possibility of increasing that. Okay. Now we're going to talk about after the payment's made, because there are some things you can do that. But first, I want to say a big thank you to all our listeners who very thoughtfully give us thumbs up or likes on our recordings. And if you have any other tips on preventing duplicate payments that I haven't shared, feel free to put them in the comment field, or of course, I always like to hear from people. Okay, after the payment's made, the money's out the door, but it doesn't have to be out the door forever if you paid twice, which hopefully you didn't. But at a minimum, you want to audit your payments. When I say at a minimum, I hope everybody who's listening today is doing statement audits. And that's where you call your vendors and you ask them to send a statement showing all outstanding activity, all open activity, not just open invoices. They're happy to tell you about the open invoices, but you want to find out, are there any open credits that we don't know about? You want to get that money back, obviously. So if you haven't been doing that, that's kind of a no-brainer. And if you do find a credit on a statement that was due to a duplicate payment, you want to investigate, because you know what they say about where there's smoke, there's fire. Or, and as I like to say, where there's a duplicate payment once, it might happen more than once. And so you want to investigate what happened, figure out was there a weakness in your controls and your processes, and then fix it. Okay, you want to close that loophole, whatever it may be. Also, you want to be very careful about those vendors who change the invoice number, and many of them do. Some of them will just add like an A to the end of the invoice number for the first copy that they sent out and a B for the second copy, but others are changing the invoice number completely. So you want to be very careful about those vendors. And when you figure out who they are, you want to make a special notice of them so that you can always check to make sure that you don't have them. Okay, so be very careful about them. And again, when you find a duplicate, you want to analyze what was wrong, what went wrong in our system so that we made this payment. Now, some of you, hopefully not you, but a few people out there might be sitting there thinking, saying, well, we don't make duplicate payments. Our system won't allow it, or whatever reason that you have. Let me just say this. Maybe you don't make duplicate payments often, but saying you never make a duplicate payment is like saying you never make a mistake. I like to say, from my lips to God's ears, everybody does occasionally. And by the way, if it's only occasionally and your staff makes one, you know, take it into consideration that this is something that happens everywhere. Now, if you still think, hey, she's making a big deal about nothing, let me just point out one more issue to you. A lot of times, a fraud in general starts off with an honest mistake. So you pay someone twice, they realize they got that second payment, they don't return it, God forbid, and then they say, aha, maybe if we send invoices twice, they'll pay twice, and they start doing it. So an honest mistake can sometimes lead to fraud, so which is why you want to stay on top of this issue. Along these same lines, by the way, in episode 77 of the AP Now podcast, we focus on using Excel to find duplicate vendors in your master vendor file, and duplicate vendors can facilitate duplicate payments, so you want to get rid of them. On YouTube, a link will appear momentarily to the left. And as always, we appreciate those comments, those thumbs up, those subscribes, and those shares. Thanks, everyone, and good luck.